Woo!
Killed it.
All right.
So those photos that you have running?
Yes.
What were they generated randomly as?
Minneapolis in February.
Okay, I'm kind of amused that you keep getting roller derby girls on there.
Yeah, that was kind of
funny. They must have been taken at a match last year, February.
Fascinating. I'm entertained. Greatly.
Oh. Yeah, so that's the podcast.
That's great.
Did Adam stop? He did not. Oh, I wonder if he's thinking...
We're still recording. We're still recording. this is going to be the randomest bonus track ever.
Yeah. Though I feel like we kind of burned out Movie Bluff. Everyone kind of got to their limit of, I just can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I was just so tired today. I've been going through my studio and emotionally going through stuff, whether it's like, do I keep this... Am I actually going to do this project or not? And I got rid of some, like, emotionally invested projects.
Mini hoarding.
And every time I would think, okay, am I really going to get to this project? I would think, I saw this show once on A&E. And then I would promptly throw it away.
I don't want them to take my kids.
He doesn't.
I'm not going to be a hoarder. That interesting thing that you were saying about depression children who grew up in depression who just hoard stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, my mom's mother, she grew up in the depression and she fell and broke her hip. And so we had to move her out of her apartment to assisted living. And with it, she got kind of like accidental dementia. Like she can't. Yeah, it was just really, really strange. It brought it on from the accident. So we had to go through the apartment, box everything up, do that. And she had a 2-bedroom apartment from when my grandfather was still alive when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an office in the apartment, for the other bedroom that she just like did nothing with, I swear, since he died. So it was literally like walking into a time capsule from the 80s.
Wow.
It was amazing. And we were finding stuff like way past the 80s. Her sewing machine was in there. She had patterns from like the 50s, 60s in there of dresses to make. And
jeez.
She had stuff from when she was in college at the U of M. It was crazy, the stuff we were finding.
Yeah, it's a good experience when you get into that kind of stuff. Like I know, like if you looked at the stuff I found in Flickr, like, I found this one newspaper article about a girl who locked herself in a trunk and, like, for, like, they
the
called
trunk
the police.
Of a car?
No, like a chest. And, like, called the police, the reporter missing, and then they found her, like, the next day, and it was a big news story. And I'm just like, that's so funny that would make the front page of a newspaper in the 60s.
But some girl locked herself
hanging
in
out
a trunk.
It's all she said.
Tee hee.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah. It's humbling, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting to think, like, at some point I'm going to be old and I'm going to be crazy and I'm just going to leave all of this crap around my house and my children are going to have to go through it and box all of this stuff up and put it away. So I'm even still thinking now, like, what is the random crap that I want to keep from my childhood that I want my kids or my grandkids to pull out and just be like, what the shit was grandma on?
I'll probably still have all my Star Wars action figures.
Oh,
please do.
Mine are boxed up already. I mean,
and my kids are going to be like, "Grandpa's awesome!" Because Star Wars will still be popular.
Oh, you have Futurama things?
Yeah, I got Futurama stuff.
Oh, nice! Like action figures. Or... Mm-hmm. Nice, nice.
I have my Santa Bear. Some of my old Barbie dolls.
I have a lot of Beanie Babies still.
I got rid of all my Beanie Babies except for 3. A Scotty dog, the wiener dog, 4, the lion, and the batty. I kept
the black one or the tan one?
The tan one.
Okay.
Tannish brown one with the pink nose.
I had the creepy black one.
Nice.
And then I know the one that I always, you know, was like my one was like a brown moose with orange antlers. Because that totally made sense.
Brownie, I believe.
It chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate mousse.
Yeah, yeah.
Mwah, mwah.
That's funny. We still remember Beanie Baby names.
It's okay. The bat was Batty.
That's like one of my first ones. That was like a first generation Beanie Baby.
Yeah, and the Scotty dog was Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had Ray the Stingray. That was like one of my first ones.
Stripes the tiger.
Yeah.
I had two of Stripes, actually.
I definitely had the shark.
I had Leo the lion.
It's just, it's such an iconic 90s toy that we can all be talked into, like, these are going to be worth so much money in the future. And then, like, straight up hoarded, had, like, two big plastic containers full of Beanie Babies.
I think my aunt actually successfully made money off of that.
That's good.
If like, one of the few. Because she opted in early, yeah, bought one of everything, and then just waited and then sold them during the peak of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Eric, I think, has, like, a garbage bag or two in the attic of Beanie Babies that I have never seen, that I'm really curious about to see what he's got up there in his Beanie Baby collection.
They're probably all moldy and gross.
No, I think they're like in a tub.
Into one baby.
Oh. I get up there, they've turned into a Santa bear.
That would be quite the mutation.
That would be really weird.
Mutate from one 90s collectible into another.
One never knows.
These turned into Pogs! What the hell?
Oh, well, I do have Pogs, too.
No,
I wish I had, like, a Slammer or something.
I have,
I still have a plastic tube full of Pogs.
That's what I got, too. How tall is yours, man? It's like...
It's like that tall, maybe.
I had a small purple
Kids at
one.
Home can't see how far apart my hands are.
It's like 12 inches.
Yeah.
I had a 4 foot.
Taller than that. But, yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was going through those the other day. Those are timeless, like, really. Graphics on there, just every detail about it are just so
I remember one awesome. Of the Pogs that I got. My mom actually got Pogs for me for Easter. And so in my Easter basket, I remember one of my Pogs was ketchup. It was a bottle of ketchup that was open and slowly spilling out, and it just had ketchup on it. That's what Pogs were. But I have something that tops everything else. I, once I fix this, have a Tamagotchi again.
Oh, nice. Oh
my God, is it on your phone?
Yeah.
Can you get that for iPods too?
Yeah.
For the iPod Touch?
Yeah, it's called Hatchi, like H-A-T-C-H-I.
Okay, sweet.
That's kind of awesome.
Named mine Swammington. Swammington. I found out that once they've upgraded it, is a female, so now I feel bad.
Aww.
No, that's okay.
Swammington does not feel like a feminine name, especially since this thing has horns. But I just noticed that it needs some burgers, which is all it eats.
It could be like a female anglerfish, you know. You can't name a female anglerfish anything fluffy.
Yeah.
They're evil.
Yeah. They just look scary.
Yeah.
Because they're deep sea fish.
But I remember when I had a Tamagotchi, and my mom had actually turned to all of us while we were standing in line at Walgreens and said, "This is popular. I'm getting this for you. This isn't going to happen all the time, but you will be able to participate in this fad specifically." Gave each of us one, and that was it.
That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah. I never had a...
She spelled it out. She really did.
Yeah. Yep.
I never had a Tamagotchi per se, but there was a Rugrats version of basically the same thing, where it was each of the Rugrats, and like you could have Tommy, and he would do funny things on the screen, and like do the whole like diaper thing where he's standing on his head and stuff like that, and then I also had a Pokemon Pikachu.
Pikachu one? I was just going to say that. I had the Pikachu one.
Yeah, the little yellow unit that was a pedometer, and you would shake it, and that would give Pikachu energy, and the more you walked...
I remember that.
The more you walked, the more energy Pikachu had.
And of course, that taught all kids to shake their pets.
Yeah.
Everyone's going, "Wake up! Wake up!"
And then Pikachu would get angry, and he'd go, "Pikachu!" Yeah. And he'd, like, blast the screen. I had one of those.
Yeah, there was, like, the maximum was, like, 2,000 steps or something like that. And
then you'd have to restart it.
Then you had to give Pikachu a gift, and Pikachu would be all happy and love you for a long time, and then...
There was a setting on there
eventually where you could, like you less over time.
There was a setting on that one that you could gamble the steps that you took away.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I sat there gambling steps, like, all freaking day long. I became such an addicted gambler on that little Pikachu step game.
Yeah, that's a great thing for kids to learn about is how to be a gambling addict.
Yep.
Although,
shake your pets and gamble.
Although this was more 2000 than 90s. But do you remember Dope Wars on the graphing calculators?
Oh, yeah.
Or all the games that you could do on there.
Yeah.
I had Asteroids.
People who recreated Super Mario Brothers on the
TI-83. That was fun.
I had Iron Man.
Yeah, and there was Bomberman, I had
Bomberman. Yeah, Bomberman had that one.
It was a good one.
But Dope Wars was the one that I really enjoyed for some reason. Because I just felt like I was being very economical at the same time. I was learning while I was dealing drugs.
Learning.
That reminds me of a play I was in once.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see or heard of Good and Plenty, the play?
No.
No.
I've heard of the candy.
It's
never liked the candy.
No.
Yeah, I didn't like the candy until I was in that play. And then, yeah, backstage stuff. Anyway, this play was... It has the candy in the play, and basically it's this new teacher who's trying to teach in the school he grew up in and is trying to teach American history to his students. And so he sets up this game where there's people who are dealing drugs, who are buying drugs, who are police officers and whatnot, and they, like, play this in their classroom and in outside of school or whatever, and the drug is Good and Plenty's. So people are dealing Good and Plenty's to each other in school, and there's a twins in the classroom. And it's supposed to take place in 1976, so the costumes were kind of awesome.
Okay.
Speaking of the 1970s and that 70s show and Eric Foreman and Topher Grace and people I apparently look like, I got a new one today.
Really?
Yeah. Spencer Reed from Criminal Minds.
Never saw it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently I look like him. And have some, according to someone I work with who, well, just met me like 2 days ago, I have many of the same mannerisms, and I carry myself in the same way.
I have no idea, but you do look like Eric from That 70s Show.
Yeah.
A little.
That's established.
I think that one's...
I think you grew out of it.
Yeah. I think it's true.
Good. I've become rather dashing.
It's also the curlier hair.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's always been there.
Yeah,
it just displaces it. Yeah,
from a girl's point of view, it is very yummy right now.
Thank you.
Mm.
Going back to the 90s, though, do you guys ever hear of see the show Biker Mice from Mars?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll be happy to know that they just announced that there's a movie in 2013.
What?
Oh god.
Yeah, I just saw that on IMDb today, and I was like, no freaking way.
Wow.
There's no trailer or anything yet, but as soon as it is, like, I'm just gonna be like, get all my old VHS tapes out and just.
Effing way.
I want them to make a Gargoyles movie.
Oh, that'd be bad. That would be epic.
Live action or 3D or something.
Live action would be interesting.
That would. Yeah. We have the technology.
We have the technology. We can make Avatar Blue Aliens. We can make Gargoyles come to life. I think that would be so badass.
That would make a fantastic movie.
And yet they've made a Battleship movie.
Yeah, what the crap is that?
No, they're optioning Candyland right now.
Oh. That's terrible.
Originally, that's terrible. Sony was going to make it. And
starring
Katy
Perry? She can shoot whipped cream out of her boobs. Again.
Okay, admittedly so, that would be cool.
I don't think I could watch an hour of that. It's just like, yep, yeah, okay.
No, I couldn't either. But it would make a good kids movie, like a little kids movie. But
yeah,
not-
Katy Perry shooting whipped cream out of her boobs. Good kids movie.
Or a game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I think of all the kid movies I used to watch when I was little, there are some mess. I mean, come on. Labyrinth, David Bowie.
Oh.
Come on. Can you not look at his crotch at all?
Great.
Yes, I can, because I've learned not to.
There
are certain moments where it's like, okay, I know what's happening in the scene.
But that wasn't based on a marble board game that you could twist the knobs. That was
no, but it was
its own thing.
It was still a movie for children, though.
Yeah.
No, no, she's referencing the crotch to the Katy Perry boobs. Not the remake versus the Jim Henson Genius.
Right.
I thought we were...
Appropriate for children.
Talking about...
No, no, we were talking about sexuality in kids' movies.
Yes.
The best example ever, Little Mermaid. Are you familiar with the scene where
the Ursula... The priest has a giant erection?
Yes. Yes.
I still... I don't know.
It's kind of like the people who say
I
that...
I say shenanigans.
That in Lion King it says sex when it says SFX.
Ah, yes.
I mean, the only legitimate one that I can think of is The Rescuers, because there is a naked lady in one of the windows as they fly by.
Yep.
That is true. I have seen that one.
It's one of those looping background things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also on the cover of The Little Mermaid.
It's very suggestive.
It's suggestive, yes. But not
It's extremely suggestive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that could possibly be, because it's like part of the castle. We're obviously talking about the giant penis on the cover of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. when they were drawing that, they were just like, this is where someone lives.
Well, I don't know.
I think they just thought of a castle and then just had a lot of water wear to it, where it just kind of...
make it look like a stalactite. Was more rounded.
Wow. Whatever.
It's more... It's that rotunda apartment that you really wanted.
It's an observatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
On the top of a tower
or
of a castle.
Or that Victorian house with the spire.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ah.
That's
but
what it is.
Well worn.
There's a storm.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
There is in the Aladdin movie, though, and the balcony scene. I don't know if
I
really
still call shenanigans on that one.
What are you referring to?
It's like
teenagers take off your clothes. It sounds like he says it. I've listened to it many times.
It's more so just the take off interspliced with other muttering.
Oh, yeah.
But I could believe that Robin Williams would say something stupid like that, because I'm sure in his sound booth as he was trying to do all of these like genie things, they would just be like, hey, calm down now. Remember, this is Disney.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to hear the outtakes.
Right. I wanted that track so damn bad.
Oh, you know, man. It's got to be out there somewhere.
They did the outtakes when they re-released The Lion King. Not very interesting. There are a couple like a few things, but then there were definitely the ones like, we're making this to try to be Pixar, and it doesn't even look right. It doesn't sound like them, but it's an outtake. It's not very interesting.
No.
Even with that cavalcade of a cast.
Doesn't have that Robin Williams...
That's wrong, Williams.
Spin to it.
Well, it did have Whoopi Goldberg interacting with Cheech Marin.
Oh, yeah. I was forgetting he's in that one.
That would have been good.
And Ed.
What do you think, Ed? Ed?
Oh, Ed.
I'm also kind of a Disney buff. Like, it's too bad we didn't get into any Disney movies for movie bluff, because... I could have schooled you guys.
Is that so?
Yeah, sometimes it goes there, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I wasn't going to force it, because, like, I'm sure if I had said Dumbo cast, like, no one would know, like, Cliff Edwards did the voice of the crows.
No, but if we got if we got into Robin Hood, if we got into the Phil Harris era, I'd have had more of a chance.
Your chance, but,
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, the more of the recent stuff. I would definitely go for. And any excuse to jump to Tarzan so I can say, Brian Blessed!
That's true. Yeah.
I want to know. Can you show me?
We did make it to that one thanks to Rosie O'Donnell, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome. Did.
That's right.
In the new Winnie the Pooh movie, Craig Ferguson plays the voice of the owl.
Yes.
And it kind of is kind of different.
Whoa.
I don't know what I think about it.
It works, though. I like
not seen that yet.
He has a song.
It's very disjointed. It's very like broken up into small pieces, which if you have a reasonable attention span, you notice it. But I mean, you can also look at it as more episodic. Mm-hmm. But you actually have to think about it in that way. Kind of like how has anyone seen Hugo? Even though like we started with that conversation.
No, not yet.
It's actually like kind of two stories in one, where it's like there's this focus and then it changes to this focus, and it's very like, well, but he already solved the other thing. Let's just make this into a short and go home. And But then, you know, if you take a step back, it's like, oh, it's a full movie. Okay, I guess.
All right, I'll sit and watch
Martin
it.
Martin Scorsese, you could get it this time.
Oh, excuse me. That's my all last that one, tea. I swear.
Are you familiar with any of the banned Disney movies? There's Song of the South.
The one with the...
Which
the...
was deemed too racist.
Yeah.
It was one of the last movies. I own it. I will have to lend it to you because it's not even... like overly racist, like they re-released it in like the '80s, and then it was in the '90s, and they're like, we shouldn't be doing that.
And now, which one is this? So is that the one that
that's the one Zippity Doodah is from there?
Yes.
And
I was thinking of the animated thing is actually just a scene from Fantasia that was edited out, where there was one.
I think I've seen.
What's it called when they're a minute? No, a centaur.
Yeah.
Where half human, half horse.
Yep.
One of them seemed very slavish.
Sure.
So it seemed kind of off color, and they edited it out of the final movie.
And then there's another one, the only rated R Disney movie, Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Have you heard of that one?
I remember that one. I don't think.
No.
Who was in that one?
I know nothing of that one. What is it?
See, it's very hard to find because I don't. It was when Eisner was. CEO. So he was just kind of like, well, we can make more live action movies and cut back on animation and save money and we'll be rich. And then, so he, you know, he had an onslaught of live action Disney movies. And then I'm not really sure. Yeah, you might have to look it up.
Nick Nolte, Bette Midler, Richard Dreyfuss, Little Richard, Tracy Nelson, Elizabeth Pena, Evan Richards, other people that I don't recognize.
Yeah, not a very good movie, but it was just like he was trying to branch into the adult industry, and it just did not work at all. It's just kind of disowned.
That looks like the weirdest cover picture ever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
I don't think I would watch it.
But I think another half an hour for a post-conversation suffices.
Yeah.
As it were, since it's now about 10:15, and
I'm sleepy.
Time to wrap up.
Even though I've had a cup of coffee, 2 Mountain Dews, and some iced tea now, I would like to go to bed.
Mm. Yeah, so we'll wind down and say thank you for listening to everything from our 20th episode run.
Woo-hoo!
And thank you for visiting the website. And since you know about that, go find everything else that we are always talk about.
Because we're awesome.
Yeah. And rate us on iTunes. We really need to push that.
Mm-hmm.
And see you next time.
Bye-bye. All right.
I wanted to say something about being a 5-star general.